very thankful to have each and every person on again this evening. Happy New Year's to all who are on the call today, January 2nd, 2022. We're thankful to God who let us see a new year. If you visit with us, you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you're very honored and distinguished guest of the audience, and we appreciate your presence on our call. We believe that the Bible is right, and every word of the Bible is right, that Jesus suffered, bled, and died, that we'd have a hope for eternal life through the shedding of his blood, and wash the sins away in baptism, that same blood we purchased his church, the only church you ever read about in the Bible. You ever only hear us talk about it in our services, is that the Church of Christ. The only one in the book, that's what we're going to talk about. And the Bible says the same in the church, Acts 2, and verse 47. We love for you to obey the truth, according to the faith that left to us by God. In this book called the Bible, the New Testament tells us what we must do in order to be saved. That those who are in the Lord, in the church, we welcome you to the call. Visit with us from other congregations as well. Continuing our study now in the book of Hebrews. Had a great study, great response this morning. Hebrews chapter 11, that we enter into one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, Hebrews chapter 12, and the verses number 1. The title of my lesson this morning, is the author and finisher of our faith. Let's get right into it now and deal with these details of these my four passages this afternoon. The Bible says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, T-H-E, singular, which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we are compassed about being circled with a great cloud of witnesses. So I need you to use your visual mind and think of a football stadium. It'd be great. Think of all the people in the stands and you on the field, or a track or a stadium where people are, and that's kind of what we got. We're compassed by, we're circled around us with a cloud of witnesses. This expresses a great number of persons. It says we're compassed by a great cloud of witnesses. These witnesses that we know of ones we looked at in chapter 11, the power of faith witnesses, who witnessed the power of faith. If they did what God said, they were witnesses. And just imagine Abel, Enoch, and Noah, and Abraham, and Sarah, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Moses, and Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel. All these are in the stands as you on the track. And that's how you visualize it. They're cheering you on, saying, just hold on with God, with this cloud of witnesses. Men and women of faith demonstrated in their lives that the power of faith was in believing and trusting that God will get you to the finish line of your race of life. And that's kind of how I want to apply it to us this afternoon. But the Hebrew writer really put some emphasis on laying aside every weight. The Olympic, this is based on Olympic races. When the guy, the racer or Olympian got on the track, they took off anything that would weigh them down from getting their best run. So what I'm trying to get us to see this afternoon, whatever is burning you down to keep you out of heaven, you got to try to shed that weight by faith. You got to do what God has said do. He says now, and the Bible says, and the sin, this is put some emphasis on there. Notice this sin is singular. The sin which does so easily beset us. You can have too much weight on you. It could be just one weight on your leg or one weight on your shoulder that is going to beset you. It's going to keep you from being at your best. It will keep you from crossing the finish line. Our besetting sin, whatever it may be, in the case of the Hebrew Christians, the context shows that the sin of unbelief was going to keep many of them from crossing the finish line. And that applies to anyone listening today, to me. Maybe you're a visitor and you don't believe in the one church, or you don't believe in the Bible, you don't believe in baptism. That's going to be the sin that's going to easily beset you. It's going to cause you to lose your soul. Yes, it is. Whatever you do, don't neglect to read and believe what the Bible teaches as pertaining to the saving of your soul. That could be the sin that causes you to lose your soul. However, whatever sin in your life is setting you back, why don't you repent of it? It's a new year. It's a new beginning. It's a time to think in terms of, what do I need to do to assure that my soul will make heaven my home. I'll be able to see God face and see in peace, excuse me. The sin may be the only war that requires you to act by faith to overcome it this afternoon. You may have a sin in your life that requires you to make a decision by faith to stop letting it set you back. Isn't this a great time of year to start looking and really putting your life under the microscope and looking through a magnifying glass as the sin that you're committing, that you're continuing in, that is a willful sin? It's one you know if you don't stop, there's no way that you can get to heaven. The one sin, think about that. There's one sin. This one sin will be your sin unto death. It is the sin, listen carefully, that you never repent of. That's the sin. Whichever sin you never repent, we have a hope. God is not willing that we perish, but it will all come to repentance. He's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffered to us who are not willing that any of us should perish, that we all come to repentance. So God is giving us this grace and mercy and long-suffering. He's been that with us right now while we're living. And that's what you should be thankful for at the beginning of this new year, that God has showered his grace and mercy upon you. However, there is a sin that you got to work on. What is that sin? Listen, John writes in 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 16. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 16, he said, if any man see his brother sin, a sin, there's a singular sin, which is not unto death, he shall ask, he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. So the sin not unto death. And then here he comes with the shocker. There is a sin unto death. There is a sin unto death. You may think you got to sin a whole lot to lose your soul. No, it may be a sin that you never stopped. You never repented of it. You willfully did it. And if you willfully sin, there's no more sacrifice for sin. Hebrews chapter 10 and 25 verses following. So think about it. Put your life. Now look in the mirror. Now, I've been doing that a lot through this, and as we get older in life and you really start to try to grow spiritually and you're really getting older in your spiritual life, not necessarily age, but in your spiritual life, you might have been in the church a while, you say, what can I do to grow stronger? You got to look at the sin. You got to look in the mirror. You got to put your life under the microscope and say, what is the sin that's going to keep me out of heaven? So what is your sin, if I were to ask you? If you answer, you're answering it to God, not to me. But if you know what it is, then it's willful. If it's something you may be doing, say, I don't know if I'm doing this or not, then it's not willful. But if it's willful, it's the sin. What is the one sin that's going to set you back from coming out the blocks while these cloud of witnesses are looking at you and you're on the track and the gun fires? What weight should you have shed it that will keep you one step from crossing the finish line? Listen carefully. You have to make decisions in the Christian life. As we live a Christian life, we have to make decisions. Decisions are decisions that lead to repentance. It means I know this is what I'm doing. It's not pleasing to God. I know it's a sin, and I need to stop. It requires making that decision and acting upon that decision because you believe. Your faith says, I believe what the Bible says, and I believe that this sin will easily beset me. Now, when you give your life to God, you can't overcome sin living in the world. If people want to, well, you know, I'm going to get my life together, and I'm going to come back to the church, and I'm going to start trying to. No, no, no. See, that's, you can't do it out there. There's no one in the stands that's going to cheer you on out in the world. You got to get down on the racetrack of faith. You got to get right down there because someone else ran that race before you did on the same track. And these witnesses, these men and women of faith, is looking at you and saying, you have an author and you have a finisher. I'm going to talk about that. But the consequence of this sin unto death, back to 1 John 5:16, is that it will be your sin unto death. And it may be that you're not applying yourself spiritually. Maybe that you're not engaged in worship. Maybe you're distracted by careers and trying to climb the corporate ladder, trying to make more money, and all these other things that are high priorities. That's going to be the reason why you lose your soul. What else do we need to understand about this? Is that if you say, Brother Brooks, I know I have a willful sin in my life, pray for me that God will forgive me. We can't do that. See, he said, John said, I do not say that you pray for him. It. You can't pray out of sin. It requires repentance. Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you're going to perish. So we can only pray for you for forgiveness after you and God know you have repented and stopped your sin or the sin. Now, oftentimes people come to the Lord or respond and at the invitation say, I come to God for repentance, or I come to the church for repentance. That, we can't repent for you. We can't pray for you. You may come to, at the end of the invitation, you are to be thinking in terms like this. I have sinned against God. I repent, which means I do not plan on doing it anymore. Pray for me. That's your responsibility, is to repent and make your confession, or repent and be baptized. Then the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and we can pray and God will forgive you based on your repentance and the prayers of the righteous. But so that's very important to know, that sinners can't pray to be saved, and as a Christian you can't pray, and we can't pray for you that you repent, that you're forgiven if you have not repented. That's all there is to it. You got to do that yourself. Now, what else is this cloud of witness teaching us? It's teaching us, if you didn't get to hear this morning's sermon, I went in detail on all the different things they were, and go back and look at all the things they went through. However, none of them were Christians. They were men and women of faith based on God's commands to go patriarchal, mosaical dispensation of time period. But these men, like Moses, Abraham, and all them, left us examples that what they done is they done what God told them to do precisely, and they stayed with his plan, such as Noah, of building the ark. He did it just the way God wanted. So as Christians, we have to do it the way God has told us in order to run this race that's set before us. So they're teaching us, you win by faith. Running with patience means you're running, persevering, and you're waiting on God to one day call you home. You got to run. You can't never give up. You got to know this race is going to come to an end one day. It's going to either come to an end through death, or it's going to come to an end through the second coming of our Lord. Men and women of faith, brothers and sisters, don't give up. We hold on. No matter how hard it is, we persevere. No matter how painful it may be, we persevere. No matter how difficult it is, we stay with the Lord, and we wait on him to get us through this situation. And some of you on the call today went through a difficult time last year. Many did. Many went through depression. Many lost loved ones. Many are dealing with spiritual depression. Now that we haven't been in the building, we haven't been together, we've been missing each other and family. All this, understand this. What I'm saying is this, that God will bring us through this pandemic. We got to wait on God. Anyone I know we want to blame the scientists and everyone else, but I say this to everyone. I do not believe no man can develop a disease and send it all over the world that God didn't allow it. There's some reasoning for this thing being allowed to do what it did to the world, and God is still in control. Man will never be in control. So what do? Do we get irritable? Do we start complaining? Oh, we can't go back. We can't do this. We can't do that. And where's our faith? And all that. That's something you say. You can say that. You can say all of that. But you can also say, what did God do when he sent us home and made us sit in our houses for a while? People that wasn't worshiping are now getting on the phone call. They're listening. About a year. That's 12 months. If God, a year, a day is 1,000 years. It's nothing to him. But some of us needed to sit down. Some of us needed to go into the rooms and sit down and start listening to the word of God. Some people who would never came to the church building are on these phone calls and they're listening. Why can't we see the positive side of this pandemic? The positive side of this pandemic is that many have come to the Lord. Many have obeyed the Lord. And we have to wait on God with patience to get us through no matter what we're doing. Yes, We lost some things through the flood. We lost some things through the frozen ice and busted the pipe. But look what we're going back to. We're going back to a brand new building, new seating, new sound systems, new TV monitors, new ways to reach other people, a new AC unit, all that. So we can see the negative or you can see the good. When people, men and women of faith, always see God over negativity. And that's where I try to practice in my life. Not listening to negative people or not seeing just the negative side of everything, but seeing that God is using us in a mighty way. And men and women of faith, no matter what difficulty we go through, no matter what pain we're feeling, we made up our minds that we're going to fight and we're going to finish this race because our faith is not in me. Our faith is not in God. No other man. Our faith is in God. That's what these men and women of faith in the stadium looking at you said, hey, we did it for us. He'll do it for you. Have you got on the track yet? Men and women of faith start by getting on the faith track. And they get there when they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're coming out of the chute. Now you got to stay. You got to shed some weight. You got to get all the sin out of your life. And that starts in baptism. You're free to run. You're free to run. But as you run, sometimes we get off track. Sometimes we take the wrong exit. Next thing you know, you got some more weight on top of it. What is the difference? I'm saying, because you've been baptized, you start running this way, you fall. You still can make it to the finish line. But you got to understand, you may have given up because you had some pain in your life. The difference between one who give up and one who keep running is the fact they understand that this race that we are in is not given to the swift, but to them that endure to the end. 1 Corinthians 9:22, 24, 25, 26. Jesus said he endured to the end. Matthew 24 and verse 13. Listen to carefully. Our cloud of witnesses around us, all those men and women I mentioned, Sarah, all them, they didn't give up. They stayed with God. They was in the line there. They was in the furnaces. They were sawed asunder. They were beaten. They were mocked. They were spit upon. They were scourged. We're talking about all that this morning. But they never took their eye off of God. And that's why the Hebrew writer says in verse number 2. He used the word looking. Go by Hebrews 12:2. Looking. Looking in the race. As you come out to shoot, if you're running the race, think about being on the track. These men and women of faith, and you got to keep your eye on faith. What do you mean, brother? You got to keep your eye on Jesus. He said, when you run the race, you got to look unto Jesus. Notice this, the author and finisher of our faith. Let me talk about this just a minute. Our faith that we have in Jesus begins with Jesus living his life to the end. Remember, he said on the cross, it is finished. We have today what we call the doctrine of teachings of Christ. 2 John verse 9. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ. The faith is the teachings of Christ that's written in the New Testament. And when we believe the New Testament, it develops our faith in Christ. That's why. But he was the author. He started this, and he had to go all the way to the end. And we're going to see, when he went to the end, it wasn't easy. He had to go all the way to the end to be called the author and finisher of the faith, which became our faith. But it was him who laid that. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The faith that we read about in the New Testament is called the faith. It's the faith of Jesus. It's the doctrine of Jesus. Is the life of Jesus written in the New Testament. And we now believe that he came. We believe that he died. We believe that he resurrected. And we believe that everything in the New Testament the apostles wrote is for our obedience today. So our faith now is developed from Jesus. So when we look at it, there's a single focus in order to get to heaven. And those who want to call this afternoon, they're just really trying to get to heaven. Our single focus and reason for never giving up is because Jesus never gave up. He never gave up. We came to God because he endured. He didn't stop. From the time he got on this, came to earth from the Virgin Mary, for 33 years, he walked. He was authoring. He was beginning the development of the faith system that would save the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Now, he had to go all the way to the end in order for it to be able to save us. Now, we came to God because we believe he did that. We believe he endured. We stay with God because he stayed with God. Because he went to the cross and he went to the end. He stayed with God, and in the end, before he was resurrected, before they buried him, he said that it is finished. He knew that he had died in order to finish this faith system that you and I are involved in. If you put your eye on a man and you listen to what men and women say, you'll lose the fight of faith. Your eye must be on Jesus. And Jesus is the author and beginning, the author and the finisher of that faith system that you and I now call our faith in Jesus. Now, the Hebrew writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher by faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who, for the joy set before him, the joy of fulfilling the will of his Father, Psalms 40:6-8. He had to taste death for every one of us, and having endured the cross and despised the shame of the horrible, horrible and humiliating death of the crucifixion. So say it like this. And Isaiah said it like this in Isaiah 53:1. Isaiah says, who hath believed our report? To whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form of comeliness, but we shall see him. There is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and with his stripes are we healed. All we like sheep have grown astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him what the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before a shearer's dumb. So he opened not his mouth. Why? He knew he had to go to the end. Let's just read in John chapter 27. As I read this, I want you to use your mind's eye. It won't be long this afternoon. Listen to this. Look and think about Jesus. In Matthew 27:22, Pilate said unto him, what shall I do then with Jesus? Matthew 27:22. I want you to look at him and look at the author and finisher of our faith, what he went through. Jesus, which is called Christ. They all said unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, what evil had he done? But he cried out the more, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, that a rabbi turmoil was made, he took water and washed his hand before the multitude. Said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See to it. Then all the people, and said, his blood be on us and on our children. Then released Barabbas unto him. Do you see? He's been released. He's been treated as a prisoner. He released Barabbas. And when they scourged Jesus, look at him now. When they scourged him, they used the whip. And they would strip him naked. And they would tie him to a pole. Can you see him now? This is your author. He's developing. He's going through everything he had to go through to finish the faith system you and I have that we believe in. The soldiers, they delivered him to be crucified. The soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall, gathered him, the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had planted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head. Can you see him? Are you looking at him? I read in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit up on him and took the reed and smote him in the hand. And after that, they mocked him. They took the robe off him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to be crucified. And this is the author. He's the God. And we keep reading here. This is what you look at. You look at how they mocked him. Look at how they beat him. Look at how he took it off. How he took his garments off and they gambled on him. They took him down. He was on the cross naked, obviously. They don't say anything about putting no clothes on him. You know, he was humiliated. Consider him. Look at the author and finisher of faith. He was on that cross. He went there. And the Hebrew writer is telling these Hebrew Christians, everything that you and I need to know this afternoon is that Jesus was on that cross. And he stayed there. He stayed there the whole time. Six long, agonizing, painful, excruciating period of time. But he came as a virgin from the Virgin Mary. He walked among me. He lived among the disciples. Taught them what they would teach in the New Testament. But it would not benefit us until he finished. He had to finish his race. He had to finish to set up the faith system that you and I believe in, and that Jesus did not give up. He did not give in. He did not quit. Yes, he was in pain. Yes, he was hurting. Yes, he was humiliated. Yes, he was spit upon. Yes, he was done wrong. Yes, you've been done wrong. Yes, people have done you wrong. Yes, you're dealing with sin. Yes, you're struggling. Yes, you may be grieving. Yes, you may be sick. Yes, you may be in the hospital. Yes, you may have problems in your life. Yes, you may have problems in your marriage. But none of this, if you look at Jesus, you would say, after all he went through, he made it across the finish line. And when he resurrected, he got up with all power in his hand. And he said, go tell them what I did. He that believe it, here come that faith. If they believe all I went through, and I made it, after being humiliated, spit upon, and mocked, and cruelly treated, if they would just look at me, brothers and sisters, if we could just look at Jesus and say he made it, he crossed the finish line, and he's there at the end of the race for us. He's on the right hand of the Father saying, I made it, I finished, I done it for you. But he's cheering us on. You got the men and women of faith saying, God will get you through. I don't know what you're going through this afternoon. You may be a caretaker going through something. A caregiver to somebody you love. You may be someone on hospice and you just don't know what you're going to do. You may be going through some things in your life that no one else knows about your pain. Not us. But Jesus do. Paul said in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death. Not just death, though. Even the death of the cross. See, you can see, he knew, even when he was in the garden of Gethsemane, that I had to go through with this. And he asked his Father, not my will, but your will be done. His Father's will was that he would die for us. And he obeyed. He was obedient unto death. He knew he had to cross the finish line of death in order for us to have a hope to get on this track and make it to the end. All those in the stadium are saying, you can do it. We did it. We made it. And Jesus at the end said, I did the hard part. All you got to do is hold to God's unchanging hand. All you got to do is follow my lead. And the Hebrew writer says, as we close, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3, he said, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against him, lest you be weary and faith in your mind. See, he said, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Listen to what he's saying. The Hebrew writer is saying, you've got to look at Jesus. He had to go through all his pain and suffering and consider him. After he went through that for us, what in this life can we go through so bad that we leave the Lord? Because his whole purpose for coming was to give us that chance, that hope of eternal life. That's why it's called one hope, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all. The one hope is in the one Lord who endured to the end. We have not resisted unto blood. It's not our lives we give. But we gotta take what comes with being a Christian. And I listened a lot of that this morning. How many of us, many people in this world, you can't live in this world and not expect to go through trials, tribulations, troubles, affliction, hardships, sicknesses, death, grieving, being mistreated. All this comes to the Christian. God never promised that we wouldn't go through trials. He never promised that we wouldn't have pain in our life. But what he did promise was there was a Jesus, a Savior, that would come, who has already ran the track all by himself. And he came and he ran this track and he crossed the finish line. Now he's at the end. And we got the cheering audience in the crowd. Said, you can do it. And Jesus is calling you this evening. Come to me. He's at the end of the track. Can you see him? You're near the finish line. Something's weighing you down. Shed it off. Shed off whatever's key. Shed off your depression. Shed off your distrust in God. And put your trust back on. Start trusting in God. Relying on God. Holding on to God. And patiently wait, because what we're waiting on is not for pains of this life to go away. But in the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us that we're waiting. We're doing. And because we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, we're looking for a city where God will be there on his throne day and night. And where there'll be no hunger, no pain, but God will be there to wipe away all tears from my eyes. No more death. No more losing your mama, your wife, or your children. No more that. No more things. What are you saying, y'all? This lesson is saying, consider. Consider and look at Jesus, who started the race himself, and he made it through all the suffering he went through. He made it to say to Jesus, to his Father, it is finished. Will you make it across the finish line? Will you make it across the finish line? And when he made it across the finish line, the Bible says he was taken back up. He was sitting on the right hand of the Father where we are. And one day, we're going to cross the finish line. And we want to be taken up to hear him say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Why should we look at Jesus? Because he's the author. He's the finisher. He began what we believe in. He ended it through death on the cross and the resurrection by his Father. Why consider? Why consider? Because he did it so we could finish. And we would have to go through the pain and suffering of this life. But there he is. A time coming. Well, those of us, along with all those in the audience of men and women of faith who hung on to God through the old times, all of us will be together one day to see God and to see his face in peace and to hear him say, well done, that good and that faithful servant. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're not a Christian, I don't know what you're going through, but I know you're going through something. And maybe you're on this afternoon and This is your last chance. This is you're at the end of the road of your life. And something's going bad in your life. And God is calling you through this message. Say, hey, look here. Come to me. Jesus is calling. I did it. You can do it. Come to me. All you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest for your soul. Can't you hear him calling you this afternoon? Don't you know? It may be just simply this. You just need to get your heart right with God. You do that by believing, number one, for those who are visiting. You do that by believing that Jesus did hang on that cross, and for 6 long hours, that he suffered all the things I read this afternoon. And I've seen how he went through all that for you to save your soul. You got to believe that he hung on that cross for long, 6 long hours, and that he died on that cross, and that he was buried and rose again. That's called the good news of the gospel, and that he hung there to shed the blood and wash your sins away in baptism. Number two, you got to believe it, Hebrews 11:6. But if you don't believe, then you don't believe in the faith system Jesus left for you to believe in. You got to believe that he did it, and to believe what these apostles wrote came from him and God. Number three, you got to repent of your sins. Jesus said, if you don't change, you're going to die in that sin. John 8:21-24, if you die in your sin, Jesus, where I am, you can't come. But he shed his blood and washed your sins away in baptism. You have to repent, though. Then you must make this confession. You believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, before men, because the Lord said you will confess him before men. Confess with your mouth, your heart's been made to believe, that is, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Be willing to make that confession before men. Number five, you got to be baptized as commanded by the author and finisher of our faith. He wrote this himself. He gave the Holy Spirit, guided the men to put it in the book that we call the Bible. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and baptized. That's what he left his apostles. He told them to go tell us. And then the Bible tells us in Mark 16:19, then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up in heaven and sat on the right hand of God. He left the command, and he went there. Now he's there. He's waiting on us. He wants us to come. He's our mediator. He's talking to God on our behalf. Give him time. And Lord, thank you, Jesus, for giving us time. And so someone this afternoon ought to come and be baptized for the remission of your sin. No matter where you are in our listening audience, we'll make that happen. Just be willing to make that confession before men. And check your belief system. Make sure you believe what you're doing and do it based on the Word of God being true. And then you have a faith based on the doctrine of Christ, or the faith, the one faith has developed your faith, and you believe what Jesus said. If you believe what Jesus said, then you'll believe and be baptized for the remission of your sins, as Peter said in Acts 2:38. Then those of us who are members of the Lord's church, maybe some precious soul, you had a bad year, 21 was a bad year for you and your family, for your life, for your job, or your financials, or your relationships, or your marriage, or with your children, or you just in and out of the hospital, or you just went through, you lost loved ones, you just had a difficult time. And last year was a very difficult time. And you're on the call kind of spiritually depressed looking today. But you got on the call this afternoon. Give yourself credit for that. And getting on the call this afternoon tells me that you're trying to finish. It tells me you're trying to get to the end. But you got to do like many did on this morning. Many rededicated their lives to the Lord. If you're on the call this evening and you're not a member of the Church of Christ, you need to get baptized. If you're on the call this afternoon and you're one who need to come and rededicate your life, January 2nd, 2022, why not do it today? Why not rededicate yourself to the Lord, and repent of your sin, be willing to make your noble confession, or let us pray with you and let us pray for you. We want to pray with you. And we want to pray for you. I want to be the one who I ask now, as I extend the invitation, that you continue to give, pray for Brother Brooks, as I continue to strive to do the will of God and to preach his word without addition or subtraction, and that God will allow me time to reach those goals in my life and to help me get these things, whatever could beset me, focus on what it is and remove it and shed it. And then if you're on the call and you're looking at doing better, you're looking at trying to be better. They understand this, as we said, it requires repentance. Ain't no sense of shaking and faking. If you haven't repented, then you need grace, you need mercy, you need time. And we can pray for you this afternoon. We can pray for you. So at the time we have the Imitation Song. And maybe 2022 on January 2nd, that'll be the day, you'll see on your report card, "My heart is now right with God." Would you come as we sing?